First Peter chapter 3, verse 8. As I was praying this week, as you know, last week we ended off in verse 10, as we looked at the fact we're being built as a habitation of God in the Spirit. I think the timing of the Lord is incredible, because here He is building us into something new. Can you guys hear me okay? Is this all right? So He's building us into something new, and He's fitting us together. If you guys remember Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, is it still loud enough? No? Is this thing on? I mean, really? All right. Turn it up. Okay, I'm going to ask the sound man to turn it up now. Is that better? Hello? Better? Good? I'm going to try it again. Give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down, good or bad. All right. See, this is going to be interactive church, all right? So, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, we looked at this last week, that now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Now, I want to mention this morning, because I know that as we talked about, going through change is hard, but I want you to realize that the people that are joining here to Country Church, we're no longer strangers and foreigners, okay? But we're fellow members. And I think that's a word from the Lord for us this morning. We're fellow members with the same heart for the ministry. In verse 21, he says, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Now, this is Jesus growing us together spiritually into a holy temple where God dwells. We saw that last week, that we are a spiritual building. That God is taking living stones and putting them on the living stones, and He's placing us in the wall or in the structure to build this house. And I believe that's what He's doing here with us, is He's putting us together. And He's putting us side by side with each other. And I want you to realize that as we're fitted together, it says there, we grow together. We grow into a new structure. And again, I think this is a word from the Lord, that we have to allow God now to fit us together. And the stone that you've been next to in the wall, maybe for the last 60 years in ministry, or the last 20 years, or the last 30 years, you got used to that, the way that boulder or that stone next to you felt. And that being placed in a new place, in a new temple, it's very possible that there's a rough edge. It's like, hey, you know, this guy needs to be filed down because he's poking me in the side. And this is where we can get offended with each other, and it's very easy to get offended. In verse 22, he says, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Here's our heart as we move forward. Guys, I want the Spirit of God to dwell here. And this building is just a gathering place. When we get together on Sunday mornings, it's the church gathering together. And we'll probably even call it, you know, our gathering. That's what we're going to call it, because that's when the church is here, is when the Holy Spirit is here. We saw that last week, that not only is the Holy Spirit living in us, but He's living in us collectively. The Bible says where two or three are gathered, there He is in our midst. And it's a genuine, very real presence of God. And that's what God is doing. He's building us together so that the Spirit of God could proclaim from this location, this property, this place, into this community. I truly believe God calls pastors and leaders and churches to a specific time and a specific place to a specific people. And I think that's what God is doing here at this place. And so the ministry here is going to be unique. Why? Because this is a unique community. And God is wanting to do something very unique. And this is why we have to go to prayer to say, okay, Lord, how does this look going forward? We need You to speak to us. We need You to tell us. We need You to direct us. Because if Jesus just went after every need, what would have happened to His ministry? He would have gotten off focus of what the end goal of His ministry was. And so we see here that there's a way for God to direct us. He's going to fit us together, build us together, grow us together, so that the Holy Spirit will dwell together with us. And so we're hoping to see each other, guys, as being placed together, placed here by God, side by side, next to one another, and realize that God has called us to be together. Those of you who are coming with us and wanting to be part of this new work. So here's where we're headed in the study over the next few weeks. Today's study is love one another. And then we're going to look next time at submitting to one another. We're going to look at a third study called submitting to elders. And then we're going to look at our impact in the world and submitting to authority. And then submitting to suffering. Yes, if you're going to follow the Lord, you're going to suffer. We as a church, if we're going to follow Christ and take back land that Satan has ruled in and reigned in, there's going to be trouble in doing that. Already this morning, we've had problems. You know, something that's supposed to be a blessing started to be a problem. But let's look here together at chapter 3, verse 8, as we look at our text this morning. With that in mind, with growing into this holy temple, now we want to look at what the Bible says here about loving one another. Notice in verse 8, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Verse 10, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. I want you to notice here that Peter is calling us now to a certain mindset as a church and as the people of God. As we're living stones being put next to each other, there's a real genuine work that we have to do in that placement to allow this kind of life to come out. We see here, all of you be of one mind. In the Greek, this word means having unity of spirit or being harmonious, living in harmony. All of you having the same mind. What a beautiful place it is when we're dwelling together in unity. When we're dwelling together in this place of harmony. It comes from two Greek words, homopron. Homos means common. Friend means thinking. Common thinking. It's a unity and togetherness, a relationship, interaction with one another. And we're hoping that we will all have common thinking on the goals that God has laid out for this church. And that's our intention. Our intention is to be lined up with the goal that God has for us, to line up with the commitments that even a country church has made in the past to continue those relationships and supporting the people that we support, including buying this house next door. And we intend to have that paid off and move forward with that. And so keep that in prayer as well, because it's very critical. We have the same mind and same heart in unity together. And what does it allow us to do? Come to the common work of the Lord in agreement. And so here's what we want to do. We want to refuse to let any disagreement separate us or distract us. You may come in and be like, hey, wait a minute, we used to do it this way and now we're no longer doing that way, so I'm just going to shut everybody out at this point. And here's Peter saying, listen, we've got to be in harmony, we've got to be in unity, because we have to have the same mind. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, here's what he says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, then fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Notice, is there any consolation? Consolation there is encouragement. Is there any encouragement in Christ, Paul says? Is there any comfort in love? Is there any fellowship of the Spirit? Is there any brotherly affection? Is there mercy in our midst? Paul says, if that's the case, then listen, fulfill my joy. Why? By being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, being of one mind. This is where we're called to be. This is the mind of the Holy Spirit. This is the mind of Jesus. And my prayer is that we would be these people having the same love, loving the same God, being of one accord, having the same mind. You see, this being like-minded, it's an active sense for us. It means we have to actively pursue unity. This is something we're going to have to work at, especially in the early days. as we get to know each other, as we get to trust one another. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation, but it says this: always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Notice, be patient with one another. In other words, we approach each other with humility. We don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers. But we know the one who has all the answers. And so we go to him in humility and we seek his face out. But we do that by making an effort to be united together in spirit. We have to make an allowance for each other's faults. And especially those of us that have been through a season of separation in this last year, as we've experienced a separation of relationships and a change in relationships, it's easy to be fault finders, but Paul here in Ephesians tells us to be fault coverers, to be fault clearers. In other words, let's be patient with one another even in our faults. None of us are perfect. There's not one single person who's perfect. And if you remember a few weeks ago when we talked in chapter 2 about having a fervent love for one another, not being malicious, but being bridge builders to reconciliation. It's so critical for us to do all we can to build bridges to reconciliation, because if we don't, what happens? Anybody in authority becomes the focus of bitterness and anger. Whatever authority we're upset with, pretty soon it's going to be the next authority in our lives. Whether that's a husband, or a wife, or a boss, or a pastor, or leadership, whatever. It's so critical to realize that we have to have this mindset that genuinely allows each other to be human. And when we own that humanity, and when we hurt one another, that we correct it, we make it right. And we allow the Holy Spirit to continue to bring that unity and that calming and that understanding. That's the striving. That's where we're to strive. That's what it says there in Ephesians chapter 4. That we're to strive in that unity. And notice what he says there. The unity binds us together. You've got this collection of living stones going into the wall, but there's a mortar that holds them together. The mortar that holds them together is unity. It's the bond of peace that allows those stones to stay in place with one another and allows God to keep building this temple for his dwelling, for his glory. As we seek unity, it holds us together. And it's a powerful, powerful thing, because we've seen some of those walls crumble, haven't we? We've seen some of the movement of those living stones being moved out of place. And guys, we need to have a heart of overlooking each other's faults. Notice what he says as well: having compassion on one another. Compassion, this word is the word sympathetic. It's being sympathetic, having a compassion for one another, from the Greek adjective sympathēs. We get sympathetic, or we get the word what? Understanding. Not only are we overlooking faults, but we're seeking to understand one another. We're seeking to feel what our brothers and sisters feel. When fear creeps in, we don't discount it, we acknowledge it. And when we talk about change, we're talking about it in the realm of, we understand change is hard, difficult, just because it's change. We love routine. We love to know, this is what we're doing, and this is where we're going. We arrive at this time, and we do this, and we stand up here, and we sit down there, you know. And we love that. All of us are creatures of habit. We all go through times where we just go into these patterns of, this is what I do. But here's what we're called to do. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Paul says this: bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Have a compassion, be sympathetic with one another, and hold each other's burdens. And notice what he says: so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? It's love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law of Christ. Love God with all of your heart, mind, soul. The second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. And if we're coming together, joining together as a church to say, listen, I'm going to love the living stone next to me, the brother or sister next to me, the way that I love myself, then what's going to happen in the fellowship? We're going to experience deep unity and power. And I think the Lord's going to be glorified. Notice what else he says in verse 8 of 1 Peter 3. Love as brothers. I want you to notice we are sympathetic towards each other. We have compassion for one another. We love one another. 1 Peter 1:22, if you remember that we taught last time, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Notice it's brotherly love. We really are brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a genuine fact. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And our brother is Jesus. And our Father is God. And we are bound together through this unity of the Holy Spirit. We're family. And so, you know, there's a neat tradition in this church that everybody calls each other brother and sister. And I think it's a good reminder, you know, hey, we are brothers and sisters. But even those things can become just terms, right? Yeah. We can say, hey, brother, hey, sister. And usually, you know, we say that when we can't remember somebody's name. Hey, bro. Hey, sis. And I'm terrible at that. If I call you bro, you may want to go, hey, wait a minute, what's my name? You know, I'm going to look for the name tag. Everybody must wear name tags. No, I'm just kidding. But we truly are, guys, brothers and sisters. This is what causes the Spirit of God now to dwell with us when we're done bickering, fighting, at odds with each other, holding turf, you know. In churches, it's so, you know, it's like, who put this flowers here? You know, if I move it, it's offensive. Okay? And these are things that Satan would love to go, can you, listen to him talking. Can you believe he moved those flowers? But this is the realm we get offended at. And I'm not saying that jokingly or even if you love these flowers. Okay? What I'm saying is these little things can sink the whole ministry. We've got to be aware of it as we come together, that we're coming together first and foremost. As we look at each other, we're looking at each other this way. You're my brother in Christ. Whether you have been in country church for 62 years, or whether you've been part of Calvary or any other church, and now you're wanting to gather here, you're my brother and my sister in Christ first. Because we're realizing God is placing us here. God is at work building a structure for His habitation and His glory. Notice what else he says. How do we love each other? How do we love one another as God wants us to? Notice how he says there, the next thing, be tenderhearted towards one another. The root word here means the inward parts, the entrails, the seed of emotion or the heart. He's saying, listen, be moved internally towards one another. Be moved in your inward parts. Have that emotional response in your love for one another. There's times where we go through and we're like, gotta love them. And it's hard. We need the power of the Spirit. But Peter's saying, go beyond just the action of love and now go into the feeling of love where it comes out of your seat of emotion, where your heart, it has a deep feeling for somebody, a tender heart. And I want you to see here that Peter's saying, this is a commandment. As we're united in Christ and we have the mind of Christ, it's a commandment now to be tenderhearted. It's like, how can I tell myself how to feel? But that's what he's saying. So we're to stir our emotions for one another. We're to work in our hearts until we have a deep affection for one another. So that when we say, hey, I love you, bro, or I love you, sis, it's genuine and real. That's what Peter's saying. He's saying, listen, let it come out of that deep feeling of the heart, that place of the heart. But I don't wait for that. I exercise that first in faith. Then God follows it with feelings. This is always the way God works. He gives us a command and then he says, now by faith, do what I'm telling you to do. But you're like, Lord, I have no feeling for anybody there. I don't feel anything for that community, or I don't feel anything for the people sleeping back here. I don't. And the Lord's like, but I do. I have deep emotion over these people's lives and their hearts. And I want you by faith to step into that and say, I'm going to love. And I'm going to demonstrate love in a genuine, real way. And guess what follows? Once I invest, the Bible says this, where your treasure is, what follows? Your heart. So now I begin to make this my treasure, my investment, and my heart begins to follow. Guys, this is a growing experience. I want us to realize from day one, we may not have warm, fuzzy feelings about each other. It's okay. But as we keep walking in faith, those deep, seeded emotions and connections will develop. And we've got to give it time for that to happen. How do we love as brothers? The second thing he tells us there, be courteous towards one another. The basic idea here is below or low in comparison to that which is higher. We see this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, where Paul says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What was the mindset of Christ Jesus? Look at verse 7 of Philippians 2. "He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant." I want you to notice that Jesus made himself. We see in that passage there, he doesn't say, you know, it says there that he didn't reach to be God. He was God. And so what Paul's trying to do there is to show how far he reached down to take on the lowly place of a servant all the way to death on the cross. But he was already God. He wasn't reaching for it. He was. But what did he do? He made himself of no reputation. He lowered himself to be the servant of all. And this is what he's commanding us to do. Peter's telling us, be courteous. In other words, take the lowest position. We love our places, don't we? We love our parking spots. Yeah. We love our seats. We love, again, the routine of all of this, and we get comfortable in a certain location. It's like, I've always sat on the left side of the auditorium, and my neck only faces that way. You know, I sat over there, and man, it was terrible. It was hurting all the service because I had to use a new muscle. You know, it's like the seats, even though they're wood, they will begin to wear an exact pattern to you. And we love that, don't we? We love comfort. We love things to say the way they are. We love to be served. That's the other thing of our nature. We love to be served. But God is calling us to make ourselves of no reputation, to make ourselves low. He says there in 1 Peter 5:5, "Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility." What a beautiful picture it is to be clothed with humility is before we come to church, before we gather as the church, that we put on that cloak of humility to say, "I'm going to go and serve. That's why I'm going. I'm going to serve. I'm going to give and to be a blessing and to follow through with loving those brothers and sisters around me, those other living stones, that I'm going to care for them and love them with true emotional feeling. And I'm going to work hard to keep the bond of peace between us so that we stay together."